Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want to begin by giving you two quotes from two different Puritans that say the same thing. Puritan Nathaniel Vincent wrote that, quote, "Families are the seminaries from which both state and church are furnished. And if there were more of devotion, instruction, and discipline there, the church in all probability would be more pure, and the state more righteously and better ordered." Thomas Manton: "The family is the seminary of the church and state. And if children be not well principled there, all miscarrieth." I told Stacy we could probably read those quotes and call it a night. See, those quotations get at the heart of this series on parenting, and it accurately reflects, I believe, the role that God has given families for the preservation and for the flourishing of both church and state. In Deuteronomy, within the context of giving the law, God emphasizes the role of dad and mom, in particular, dad. By whom, or from whom, the law of God is to be nourished, instructed, and modeled to their children. I would like to read portions of Deuteronomy 5, 6, and a little bit in 7, as we've done in most of our messages. But just follow along with me. I'm going to skip around here. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 5. "Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them.'" What I want you to do with that verse, I want you to think of that verse when we continue walking through this and see where that careful attention is directed to. It's directed to dads. Go down to verse 9. "You shall not bow down to them," talking about other gods, "or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Go to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." Verse 4 and following: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Verse 20: "When your son asks you in time to come, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes of the rules the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.'" Chapter 7, verse 1: "When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than yourselves, and when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show them no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. It is clear that God has given us as parents, us as dads in particular, the role for leading our children in the Word of God. Last time we looked at this text, we saw that if we're going to parent biblically, we have to understand God's purpose for His law, and then we have to adopt God's purpose for His law as our mode for parenting. In other words, we don't parent to the law. We parent through the law. Our goal is not simply just to give our children commands and statutes and laws. We want to show them who the God is of those laws and those statutes and those rules. We don't want to manufacture external righteousness without the trying to produce that internal reality of a personal, intimate walk with God. Again, we don't want Pharisees. We want children who love God, know God, who aren't just acquainted with rules, but have been taught who God is Himself. And so we do desire for the law to convict our children of their sin. We do want our children to feel the weight of the burden that they have before God. But we don't want to leave them there. We want to point them to Jesus Christ in that conviction. And so we must have an answer to who God is. And this is to say, and I want us as parents to get this. We must know God ourselves first, both doctrinally and experientially. We must know what the Word of God says about God Himself. And we must have a personal, growing relationship with that God. We can't lead our children to God if we ourselves don't know who He is and if we don't know Him ourselves. And so tonight I'm going to do something incredibly foolish. I'm going to try to address who God is. And hopefully it'll help us a little bit. But I got to do some foundational work first. So if we're going to bring our children under the binding nature of God's law so that they be driven to Christ, then we must know who God is and we must know how He delivers them from their guilt. So here's the premise of my understanding of being a biblical parent. Everything is built upon this. It's this. Biblical parenting requires not just a sound orthodox view of God, but it requires fresh growth, both in the expansion and in the depth of our knowledge of God. I'll repeat that. Biblical parenting requires not just a sound orthodox view of God, but it requires fresh growth, both in the expansion and in the depth of our knowledge of God. While parents who rely on their past growth to parent, they'll find staleness in their parenting. Those who go daily to the flowing springs of God's Word will find fresh energy. And they'll find dynamic ways to shepherd their child's heart. Again, as parents, we must be growing in our knowledge of God, both doctrinally and experientially. See, God is a triune God who has revealed Himself in Scripture so that He would be known, so that He'd be loved, so that He'd be worshipped and praised, so that He would be obeyed, so that He would be on our lips to tell our children and future generations as to who He is. See, what we have to do as parents, we have to pursue God in our own lives and in the lives of our children. We must seek to teach them who the Father and the Son and the Spirit are. We want to know who the triune God is. We want to know what each member of that triune God, what they are doing and what they will be doing for us. In other words, we don't want to know the triune God at a distance. We want to know him intimately. We want to know him up close. We want to say, we know God. So who he is and what he did and what he does must be on our minds. It must be in our hearts. And it must be on our lips. See, if we understand our union with Christ properly, then we will say and understand that it is most odd and foreign for Christians to be pursuing and be knowing more about the world than they know about God. See, our union with Christ should cause us to want to pursue Him above everything else. It is my belief that ignorance of God produces a contentment of our current knowledge of who God is. So if you want to know Him more, then you will direct your daily calendar. You will rearrange your activities for the day. You will turn things off so that you would have time to fill your mind with the very Word of God, so that we will have accuracy of who He is, to know ourselves, but also to be able to expound to our children. See, the knowledge of God experientially will transform the content of our speech. It'll transform how we spend our time. It'll transform everything in our lives. And so our children also should be increasing in their knowledge of God. They should be increasing in the doctrinal truth of who He is and what He has done. This should be the primary goal of every parent. Every parent's primary goal should be teaching their children who God is and what He has done. Our children need to be increasing in their knowledge of God primarily because of what happens in the home. The most solid church cannot adequately produce such knowledge if it is not being undergirded in the home. So many parents look at their children. I don't know why they don't know God. I don't know why they don't have a sufficient understanding of God. Look at your home. Look at what's going on. Don't blame the church. This is primarily what happens. And dads, we are the ones who are to lead our family in family worship. We are the ones who are to lead our families in doctrinal discussions. We are the ones who are to lead our families in weaning them off of worldly entertainment and point them to Scripture and point them to good books and good sermons so that their minds would be beginning to be saturated with the Word of God. Now, because of this call on us, I am becoming increasingly convinced that we need to catechize our children. Listen, so many kids today have Bible verses tucked away in their heads, but they can't even begin to espouse basic biblical doctrine. We need to give our children a doctrinal foundation. And what catechisms do is they provide a doctrinal grid by which our children could understand the Scriptures. And so I'm going to say we should turn the TV off. We should have our children being involved in the reading of good books, listening to good sermons, enjoy dad's family time with our children in and under the Word of God, instruct them in individual passages of the Word of God, and yet teach them doctrinally what those truths mean. Now, normally it's at this point in a message where parents will agree that this is a good thing to do. But they begin to think of their child as somehow incapable of comprehending the Word of God and incapable of comprehending basic biblical doctrine. Listen, I believe that our children at a much younger age than we give them credit for can take in and understand the Word of God. Often, our children rise to our expectations. And their interests often express the environment that we as parents have established in our homes. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon wrote of his childhood. I can bear witness that children can understand the Scriptures, for I am sure that when but a child, I could have discussed many a knotty point of controversial theology, having heard both sides of the question freely stated among my father's circle of friends. Spurgeon says at a young age, he could have discussed finer points of theology. It wasn't because he had this greater ability in his mind, but it's because that was his home. That's what the discussions were. And he was able to feed off the crumbs of all of these discussions. And so he could know and accurately understand. See, our child's comprehension of biblical truth and their ability to convey that truth in spoken and written word reveals much about our parenting and much about our home life. It is a most general rule that what parents long for, their children, especially at a young age, will pursue. What our children can discuss with great familiarity manifests what sort of communication we have going on in our home. And what our children are unable to discuss with familiarity manifests what parents have not been discussing. This is leveling, isn't it? I want to encourage us as parents to evaluate our parenting. Well, we can see in Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7 where it places the responsibility. And I want to challenge every one of us to evaluate ourselves. Recently, Stacy and I went through a time of an evaluation of our own parenting. And it was very convicting. It was almost humiliating. And there were tears. But joy does come in the morning. Don't be afraid to feel the conviction of misguided priorities. Don't be afraid to go under God's word and feel the weight of blown opportunities. There's a freedom of forgiveness. And by His grace, He will enable you to become a more faithful parent according to His word. So briefly, having addressed our child's capacity, and by the way, as a teacher at Aletheia, let me say our kids are able to do much more than we have required of them. They are very intelligent. And so, having looked at their capacity to understand the truth of God, let's spend some time looking at who God is. And so what I want to do is I want to quote for you what is considered one of the, if not the best, descriptions of God. This is question number 8 of the Baptist Catechism, what is God? And this is question number 4 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and their answers are identically the same. And here's what it says. What is God? Here's the answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's who God is. So, we must teach our children that God is not bound to physical limitations. He is spirit. He is without limit. He cannot be measured. He cannot be fully comprehended by man. We must teach our children that God is both transcendent and immanent. He is both beyond and above everything, and that at the same time He is near and involved in everything to the very smallest detail. And for the believer, this transcendent God who is above and beyond everything actually dwells inside of us. and we in Him. Teach them that God's throne is in the heavens and that earth is His footstool. Teach them at the same time that God dwells in the hearts of His elect. We must teach our children that though God can be understood with accuracy from His Word, He can never fully be comprehended. They must know that God has condescended to reveal Himself to us in understandable language, and yet the truth contained in that revelation is inexhaustible. We must teach our children that God needs nothing, that He is self-existent. He is self-sustained from all eternity. He is the great I Am. We need to teach them that our salvation in Him is not because He needed us. Rather, salvation is sheer grace in which we delight in God forever. And watch this. He delights in us forever. We must teach our children that God does not change. He is immutable. There is no shifting shadow with Him. They need to know that God does not change with the shifting winds of society. He does not morph into a new being because of popular vote. God is the Ancient of Days, and we are to walk in the ancient paths to know Him accurately. They must know that God is distinct from His creation. His ways are higher and purer than ours. We must teach them that there is a vast gulf between the Creator and His creation. Teach them the Creator-creature distinction. They must know that wisdom and power and holiness and justice and goodness and truth not only describe who God is, but that these descriptions were manifested in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so teach them to look for Christ in the Old Testament. Teach them to love the Gospels. Teach them that in Christ the fullness of deity dwells. Teach them that Christ is full of grace and of truth. Teach them that in Christ is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. Teach them that Jesus is the mediator, the only mediator between God and man. Teach them that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Teach them that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Teach them that to know Christ is to know the Father and the Spirit. And yet to reject Christ is to know neither the Father nor the Spirit. God is Spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. To this, I would encourage us as parents, and let me add grandparents, both for the profit of our own soul as well for our parent, that we use these descriptions as to who God is as a guide to instruct our children. Remember, we don't just teach laws and rules and statutes as good and necessary as they are. We teach the very God of those rules. So here's a good question for us as parents. What's the percentage in our parenting is just law? And how much of our parenting is teaching them who God is? If you read Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7, we see that we should be teaching much more of who God is. See, we need to lead our children to Genesis, where God is clearly seen as the Creator. We owe our very lives to Him. We are accountable to Him. Let me just say, we live in a day where responsibility has been thrown out the window. Nobody is accountable for any of their actions. Our children need to be different. They need to know that they were created, and that one day God will hold them accountable. They need to know that there is a day of reckoning. We need to show them that our first parents sinned, and that Adam was in, excuse me, that Adam's sin was imputed to us. We need to show them how sin negatively affected Adam and Eve's communion with God and how it negatively affects our communion with God. We need to yet at the same time from Genesis show them that God immediately promised to deal with sin and Satan and the world through the seed of the woman who was Christ. Show them from the beginning that God has His eye on redeeming mankind. Show them from Exodus 19 where God is seen as a terrifying holy God where men, women, and children tremble at His presence. Show them God's holiness and seriousness about our righteousness in the law and in the Old Testament sacrifices. Show them from Joshua that God goes before believers and fights our battles. Take them to the Psalms and instruct them how to sing and how to pray and how to worship our God. Show them that all of our emotional faculties are involved in our walk with God. Show them that God loves to hear the cries of His children. Teach them and model for them what it is like to bear your soul before God. Teach them what it's like and model for them what it means to lay everything at the cross before God. Show them from Isaiah chapter 40 the comprehensive nature of God's sovereignty and power. From the gospel, show them that this is where we see the love of God manifested in Christ as He lives and lays down His life for sinners. From the New Testament letters that unfold in doctrinal clarity the glorious treasures of God's grace in Christ, lead them to know what they have and to revelation that shows that all the universe belongs to Christ and that everything has its end either in Him or against Him. Let them see that Jesus is not just for Sunday school, but He is at the very center of history and at the very climax of our future. And because of this, He should be at the very center of our hearts. Instruct them at a very early age that man was created to commune with God, and that in Jesus Christ this takes place forever without interruption, without sin, in the new heavens and the new earth. Our job as parents is not to raise well-mannered children. That may be a byproduct. We have to teach them who God is. We are to constantly lay before them. We're going to talk about this next Sunday night, Lord willing. We need to constantly lay before them who God is. But we cannot do that if we don't know who He is first and foremost ourselves. And Joel Beakey was writing, or he wrote on Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And this is how he describes our need to be being filled with spiritual wisdom and knowledge. He writes, to be filled with knowledge means that these truths permeate one's mind, heart, and life as the fragrance of brewing coffee fills the house in the morning. He goes on to say, we must keep God's truth percolating in us until they flavor all that we are in Christ. So, Mom and Dad, I have a question. What are our children seeing in us? What are they hearing in us? What are they observing? Are they seeing a difference between what we say we believe and our actions? Do they see... Yes, I know they see this, an imperfect parent, but do they see a parent who loves God, who seeks to honor God, who desires above all earthly treasures, all earthly pearls of price that you can find? Do they see in you that God is everything to you? What do they see? Do they see a mom? Do they see a dad who loves God and pursues God on Sundays? And Monday through Saturday, it depends on how the week is going. It's my prayer that for all of us, that our knowledge of God, both doctrinally and experientially, would permeate our house so much that our children cannot but help being attracted to our great and glorious God. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your help. God, we ask for grace and enablement to be able to faithfully teach our children who you are. God, you have been so kind to us to save us. You have been kind to us to leave to us your word, written revelation, a revelation that is accessible to us to know, so that we would know rightly who you are. God, may you cause each and every one of us in this room to dig into the treasures of your word more this week than we did last week, understanding that all that we do flows from our walk with you. God, I ask you that you would give us an insatiable hunger and thirsting for you. And as we begin to have that met in your word, would you only increase that? May we never grow content with what we know about you today. God, we pray for our children. God, that you would not hold our sins against them, our failures against them, but God, that your grace would penetrate through our parenting to save our children. God, may you cause our children to walk with you. And we pray, Father, that our children would do a better job than we've done. God, that should be the heart of every child, every parent, to have their children be closer to you. God, help Peninsula Bible Church, not out of pride, but out of humility, lead this community by manifesting what a true biblical family should look like. Help us, Father, to bring everything we do under the authority and instruction of your word. Father, tonight we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.